There's a Jewish principle that governs Jewish law, but should also govern our lives, tadir usheino tadir, tadir kodem, which means, if you think about the things you do every day and the things you do only rarely, the things you do every day matter more. It's why it's not good enough to be nice to strangers, you have to be nice to your family. Doesn't matter if you're nice to the person you see once a year, you actually have to be decent to the person you see every day. And Judaism tries to counsel us about the stuff we do all the time, not the stuff we do rarely. And so I want to talk this morning about something we do all the time. Every single day of our lives, without exception, just about. And that is eat. We all eat every day of our lives and sometimes every hour of our lives. And you know that Judaism cares a lot about what you eat, but I want to talk today about what you put in your mouth and kashrut in a broader sense than we usually discuss it. Because keeping kosher is not really solely about a bunch of rules. It's something much deeper and much broader, and if we understand the philosophy of it, we can integrate it into our lives in new ways, in different ways. And I want to start by saying this about kashrut. When someone asks you if you keep kosher, I actually think that you shouldn't answer, assuming that you don't answer no. Because here is a fundamental problem we have with our lives, especially with our religious lives. If someone asks you, are you a good person? You would say, I try to be, or I am. And they would say, do you sometimes do bad things? And you would say, yes. They'd say, how could you say you're a good person if you sometimes do bad things? And your answer is, I'm not perfect, but I try to be good. So here's what I want to tell you. Every meal you have that is a kosher meal counts as a kosher meal. If you have waffles in the morning and sausage at lunch, and someone says to you, do you keep kosher? You're allowed to say, not all the time. You're not a hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone who says one thing and does another. If I say I keep kosher and I have sausage for lunch, I'm a hypocrite. What you are is imperfect. And the first thing I want to suggest to you is every time you sit down for a meal, you can make a choice to keep kosher. Without reference to what you're going to have at the next meal. Without reference to what you had at the meal before. The second thing I want to tell you is this is not new, the idea of kashrut. It really, really goes back to the Torah, not only because we find it in the Torah, but amazingly enough, when they do archaeological excavations in Israel, you know the main difference between the Philistine villages and the Israelite villages? In the Israelite villages, they don't find any pig bones. Our ancestors didn't eat pigs thousands of years ago in Israel. And if anybody doubts it, all they have to do is excavate. So this is deep in us. Now, does that mean that no Israelite ever ate a pig? Probably not. But again, there was this idea that what you put in your mouth is as important as what comes out of your mouth. And that you govern your religious life every time you do an everyday thing, like talk, like eat. So I want to tell you what the rationale is for why you should eat fish that have fins and scales, which makes no sense. Or animals that have a split hoof and chew their cud, which makes no sense. But first I want to tell you what kashrut is not about. It's not about health. You can get as sick from a bad chicken as you can from a bad pig. People who say that the laws of kashrut are all about health are giving you a reason that might motivate you, but it's probably not the real one. There are other reasons anthropologically why people speculate about this, that it was considered a pure animal. That, for example, if you have a fish that has fins and scales, you always have a real fish, whereas hybrids, things that are half land, half sea, like lobsters or clams, we don't like these hybrids. We like God to make things in specific categories, so we only eat land animals that are really land animals and sea animals that are really sea animals. Maybe. But those aren't the reasons I'm going to give for kashrut. I'm going to give you different reasons. The first thing is, if you keep kosher, you remember at least three times a day that you're a Jew. You can't help it. Every time I go into a restaurant and I eat in regular restaurants, I know 80% of the menu is unavailable to me. Not only because I happen to be someone who doesn't eat meat anyway, and I haven't for decades, so even when I go into a kosher restaurant, a lot of the menu is unavailable to me, but because I know right away there are certain things that I won't eat. Which means that I am immediately reminded, and by the way, if I happen to be with someone who doesn't know, I'm reminded in the best way, that is, I have to explain it to someone else. Do you want to share the shrimp salad? I can't eat that. Why not? Now, you could say, I don't like shrimp, but that's not the reason. The second part of it is that it doesn't only remind you that you're a Jew, but part of keeping kosher is saying a blessing before you eat. It's not only what you put in your mouth, it's also how you treat what you put in your mouth. One of the problems of life in the modern world is we have so much, we live thoughtlessly. We eat what we want, we go where we want, we find... The only time we're not thoughtless is when something breaks down. You think about your computer when it takes a long time to load. Any stupid computer. Ridiculous internet connection. Why don't they fix this? But as long as it's working, it's like looking through a window. You almost don't see it because you're actually looking at what it is you want to look at. But with food, kashrut slows you down. Saying a blessing before you eat, it slows you down. It takes a little longer to load, if you will. You can't eat right away. You have to say a blessing and then eat. And so it reminds you, look at this phenomenal gift that we are given of food. And as a Jew, I'm not supposed to take something for granted. And so I say a blessing of gratitude. As the Talmud says, I reminded those of you who were at the dinner last night, the Talmud says, anyone who eats without a blessing is a thief. Because God has a price. Okay, you're going to have food. All I want from you is thank you. That's all. And then you've paid your debt. And I would tell you, you can ask other rabbis, they may not agree, but I will tell you that if you sit down to a non-kosher meal, you still should say a blessing. Because you still should be grateful for the food that he's given you. Because it's too easy to move through the world with a sense of entitlement instead of gratitude. But keeping kosher is supposed to make you grateful. Also, it's supposed to connect you to other Jews. One of the reasons that I ask even those who don't keep kosher to sometimes go to kosher restaurants is because you want to support the Jews who are trying to keep this tradition alive among us. It's a good thing, and there are good kosher restaurants in this city. We're blessed. So it also serves group solidarity. But then there's something else, something deeper. Something that you can't appreciate till you get a little bit older. Which is most of kashrut, as you know, in fact, all of kashrut in some sense deals with animals. There aren't any non-kosher vegetables. There are people who will tell you you shouldn't eat this vegetable or that vegetable because, you know, it's hard to extract all the bugs from this vegetable or that vegetable, but I don't buy it. But there is no such thing as a non-kosher vegetable. A rutabaga and broccoli, they're completely kosher. But there are non-kosher seafood, obviously, and non-kosher animals. And therefore, all the rules of kashrut deal with that which has died. Kosher reminds you that you're living off the death of a living thing. Now, Judaism doesn't say that's bad. Nowhere in Judaism will it say you shouldn't eat kosher animals because they have to die. Even though, as I said, I don't eat meat, I don't for a minute pretend that Judaism teaches you that you shouldn't eat meat. It doesn't. But do you really want to be the kind of person who moves through life living off death and never thinking about it? Do you want to bite into an animal and not think about the fact that something had to give its life so that you could have dinner? Not think about the fact that around the world, that's what it means for people to eat, is for a living thing, a living, feeling thing, because anybody who's ever had a pet has no doubt that animals feel and have some kind of emotions and awareness. A living, feeling thing had to die so that you could have that meal. Keeping kosher reminds you of that, because it's only kosher if it's an animal, if it's slaughtered in a certain way, and certain blessings are said, and then it comes to your plate. Keeping kosher is deep. It makes you more aware of the world. It reminds you who you are as an ethical human being. And that's why I say, don't say to yourself, I don't keep kosher and that's it, I'm done. It's much bigger than that. Much bigger than that. And I'm not going to say to you, you have to keep kosher at every meal for these things to be alive to you. They're alive to you if you bless, if you think, if you're aware, if you know what it is that you're eating and it is in your consciousness. And remember that to be a religious person is to increase your consciousness of the world, not to diminish it and not to narrow it. There's only one time when I'll tell you that you really, really, really must keep kosher. And that is when you have a meal for a bar bat mitzvah or a wedding or a bris or a brit milah. It is nothing less than a disgrace that a su'udat mitzvah, which means the meal of a mitzvah, isn't a kosher meal. There's nobody in this community who can afford a beautiful non-kosher meal that can't also afford a beautiful kosher meal. Yes, you will have to do without the shrimp cocktails. And if you say it's a sacrifice, I say, I understand that and I appreciate that, and that's part of what makes it so valuable. Is you say, in fidelity to the tradition, to thousands of years of Jews eating a certain way, at the moment that I celebrate my child becoming an adult Jew, my children becoming married to each other to build a Jewish home, my son or daughter being named in tribute to that, I'm going to have a kosher meal because that's what Jews ought to do. That's what Jews ought to do. What you go out and eat afterwards, privately, it's a different story. But when you make a communal meal for the Jewish people to celebrate a Jewish event, it should be a Jewish meal. There is one other reason that some people will give about why you should keep kosher. It's actually the first reason that some would give. It's the last reason that I'll give, which is that the Torah tells you you should. Or, if you like it better, God says so. But you know what? That, I think, in our world, in our community, is not enough of a reason? If it were, and everybody believed that, if you thought that the creator of the universe was checking your dinner menu, my guess is all of our, not only our food behavior, but our other behavior would be very different. But it does say something about who you are and how you approach the world and what you think in a larger sense Judaism is about, and what you teach to your children, and how you let them know that everything they do, especially how they nourish themselves in this world, it matters. And they should be aware of it. And they should be grateful for it. That's who we are. It's who we've always been. That's why this morning we have a very strange rule of kashrut, which is that because Jacob walks with a limp, the gid hanasheh, the sciatic nerve, Jews aren't allowed to eat, which is why Jewish filet mignon, kosher filet mignon, is so expensive. Now, if you ask yourself, why in the world, because Jacob limped, do I have to do without a certain cut of steak? The answer is really, there's no good reason. Except if you do without it, you remember that your ancestor struggled with an angel. You sit down and all of a sudden your thoughts are elevated beyond the carnal act of eating. Because here's the last thing I want to say, I think. It's the last thing I'm planning to say. How about that? All the things that we share with animals, like eating, like sexuality, all of them, we surround with symbols to remind ourselves that we are animals, but we're more than animals. I mean, after all, when I was a kid, and I would shove food into my face, what would my mother say to me? David, stop eating like an animal. In other words, eat like a person. When you sit down to a meal, I mean, why do you need a knife and fork? Did you ever see the movie Beckett? Where Beckett says to King Henry, I've just come from France and I have this wonderful innovation. He says, what is it? He calls it a fork. He says, what's it for? He said, it is for spearing meat and putting it in your mouth. And Henry says, I can use my hands. Beckett says, yes, but the fork is washable. And Henry says, so are my hands. And you realize that the reason you have a utensil is because you want to distinguish yourself. You don't want to eat like the family dog eats. Because you're a human being. Because you're supposed to be in God's image. Because you surround the animal functions of being a person with the angelic functions of being an image of God. So every time you keep kosher at a meal, congratulate yourself. Every time you say a blessing and are aware of something bigger, more spiritual, more beautiful than just the act of eating, be grateful. Whether you eat kosher or not at a given meal, still thank God for the wonderful gift of abundance that all of us are privileged to have, when you know that for most of human history, most of your life was devoted to ensuring that you had enough to eat. Kashrut is ultimately about spirit and about gratitude, not about a series of laws. We're about to come up on Hanukkah. Lo v'chayel v'lo v'koach ki'im bruchi, amar Hashem Tzvaot. Not by might and not by spirit, not by power, but by my spirit, says God. When we act in this world, we should act with spirit. Speak that way. Treat people that way. Sit down to eat that way. That's what it means to keep kosher. And even if all of us don't do it all of the time, all of us can do it some of the time. And if you keep kosher in that full sense, you will feel that it is a spiritual elevation that brings you closer to what is best in you, closer to the Torah, and closer to God. Shabbat Shalom.